I'm glad that you're in here for this seminar. There's actually two, as I understand it, two rounds of seminars. So if there's one on the list, if you see your list here that you want to go to next, I mean, you're of course welcome to hear me say the exact same thing twice, but you might want to go see someone else for one of those really, really helpful topics that are there. In fact, I'm jealous that I don't get to sit in those other seminars to actually learn, because I don't know if I mentioned this, I'm actually not qualified to do what I'm doing right now. So it was really funny. My wife was, we were here at First Pres from about 2003. Is that right? Something like that. Don't, maybe 2000 and yeah, about 2003 to 2010, it was here. And so we still have tons of just great friends. So great to see so many of you and to be chatting here. My wife was talking to one of her friends here in Jackson this week, member here at First Pres, and said, oh, I see that Nate is doing a seminar on the family life in the fast lane. And she said, oh, he is he? Pray tell, what will he say? She said, I'll be very interested to know what he says about this subject. So maybe Christy will listen to the recording and learn how important this is. Truly great to be with you guys. So thankful to come home, to be back here and see all these friendly and familiar faces and to talk about parenting. Truly, this is such an important calling that the Lord has given to us, and it is an honor, truly, isn't it? Can you imagine that you've been entrusted with raising little images of God and pouring life into them and sacrificing and the Lord using it for his glory. Another generation, by God's grace, of Christ followers will come in and through the work that the Lord is doing in your families. And that's really exciting. It's a wonderful adventure. I hope something of what we talked about a second ago in that sort of parenting reset talk, you have an insight or two that kind of pulled from that. You're like, oh, man. I need to hear that this is really about representing the Lord and his work in the life of my children. That's a concept you know, but isn't it like when you hear it, it's like, oh, like how did I not remember that? Now, here's what's interesting about the moment. If you had that moment, like I had that moment, like I was talking about it, and I was like, man, I believe this. I need to do something different with Knox, you know, my son. Like, I just, you know, when I get upset at that baseball swing and I'm like, I've taught you, son. I really want you to do better, you know, coming in. You know, I need to, like, settle down. I need to settle down. And I need to think of the long game, right, on this thing. What's interesting about that insight that you may have taken away from the talk a second ago is insights often feel like you're changing and growing. Doesn't it feel that way? Like, now things will be different. No, it won't. I don't mean to burst your bubble, but like, you're probably going to go home and like, it's going to leak out of you like really, really fast. And what's important to know about that is it takes work to work those insights into actual change. It takes work to work those insights into actual change, right? When I was talking about baseball, or talking about, you know, learning your multiplication tables or talking about learning an instrument. What? Practice. You got to work at it over and over and over again. Parenting is practice, and it's practice in the midst of life, right? In the midst of doing the thing, you're practicing it. But as you practice ambassador parenting, you actually begin to inhabit it. It's one of the beautiful things that I want to encourage you in, that moment of insight isn't growth until we begin to have a practice of working it in to our lives. And that's part of what I want to talk about here, the slow, deliberate, daily, even moment by moment work of keeping pace with our children and establishing a family life together that doesn't just go by like days and weeks on end and you're like, where did the time go? What would it look like to actually do that deliberate, slow work of parenting, and in the midst of the fast lane of life, begin to have strategic pauses and intentional slowdowns so that you're resetting more quickly. Do you know, I don't know if you've noticed this about life, but the Lord like gives us a sunrise like every morning. And then the next day it happens again. And then at the end of a week he does that with the Sabbath day. And then at the end of the month that happens again. It's like cycles within cycles within cycles within cycles. You see how that works? He does that because you need new starts all the time. You need new starts all the time. I want you to conceive of this as a new start. I want you to think of it in that way. And interestingly, if you think of it as a new start, like I actually get to start over tomorrow, tonight, right now, I can start over. As you take in that mentality and practice it, change and progress actually happens. It's one of those remarkable things that actually takes place. And that's part of what we want to talk about in this fast lane time together. I've got like 7 points because I'm a preacher, right? And 7's a perfect number, and I didn't have 3, and so I had to go to 7 because I thought anything else would be weird. And so we have seven points. But the first is a basic one, and a number of these are basic, but I want to drill into them just a little bit to see kind of almost like an onion. There's more towards the inside as we work through it. And one thing I want to call you to tonight is the fast lane of life is to determine tonight to prioritize your family life. Now that seems so strange. You're like, Nate, I'm at a parenting conference. I mean, like, I'm prioritizing my family life. But you know what I mean. Because there are a lot of times where your family life is like something you're squeezing in rather than actually something you're prioritizing. You're hoping to stumble into it. Like, you know, at some point, life is going to slow down. Said parent for the rest of their lives, you know. And just it's actually not going to happen. You're going to have to determine to do that. You're going to have to determine to prioritize family life. This is a resolution season, right? It's not too late to make a resolution for 2023. And I think having that sense of like, I'm going to determine to prioritize my family life. To start there and to say, what is it that robs you from prioritizing it? Like really being truthful about that. Is it time on your phone where you're not present with your family? Is it your job? What else are you actually with your time and your money and your resources showing that in your confessed and professed commitment to family life, in actuality, there's all kinds of other priorities that are higher up? Just be honest about that. And say, tonight, I want to put my money where my mouth is, in a sense. I want to really determine to prioritize family life and really for 2023 make some steps in that direction. I think that's number one. We've got to settle that issue in our hearts that this is something critically important. Now, how do you do that? Number two, I want to encourage you in this practice, okay? I want to encourage you to create a family vision. I want you to create a family vision. Like, have some sense of what it is you're aiming at. I think that's why a lot of our plans in our family lives fail, is that we don't actually have a vision of where it is that we're headed. A couple of the questions that Christy and I ask every year, so we did this a couple of weeks ago, we revisit this question every year, is how would we like our children to remember our family life? For me, that's always just like a great question to ask. Like when they're old and the grandkids are around and they're going to like, hey, Dad, you remember like when we were kids, how you guys always did? What do I want to hear? Right? What do I want to hear? What would I love? What would God love for that to be the testimony of? And start right thinking, what will they say about family life growing up? What would we want them to say? And then the second thing we do is we begin to imagine, where would we want our family life to be and at Christy and I's 50th anniversary, or when I'm 75, or when I'm about to close my eyes and go to be with Jesus, and they're gathered around my hospital bed? What would be the sense of that room? What would I long to see? What would I love to see? What would God love to see in the moment? How could our lives this year, in some actionable ways, move towards that vision? What would it look like? And I think that starts by, you know, having some current state of the union that you're clear on. You know, be honest about where your family is. Like you say, oh, I'd love it to be this. here's where we are. What would it look like then this year to take one or two steps in that direction? So that we can, we're beginning to move there. Don't bite off more than you can chew, but I think they need to be actionable steps. And for us, it might be, you know, a particular discipleship step we want to make with the family, like teaching the children how to pray this year. That's going to be a, that's going to be one of the ones where we're going to focus. We want to see sweeter communion. You know, we're listening, you know, to the, they're all just, you know, praying for the cat's paw and, and that's great. That's wonderful. But we're like, hey, you're 15 and you're still praying for the cat's paw. You know, like, okay, parent fail. Let's work through some, you know, towards communing with the Lord. What does that look like? We take time to write one particular area we'd love to see that child grow in that year, right? I mean, like, and I'll just give you a couple for this year. So for our Luke, and Luke, please don't listen to this recording. You know, for our Luke, he's super competitive. And like in board games, like he gets miserable after two rounds, even though there's a lot of game left because he's losing. And he loses his temper. And so self-control is something we're saying, you know what? That's not about being just competitive at a board game. That's about being in a boardroom one day. That's about being in business one day. That's about a whole lot of things, about fruit of the Spirit. Love, gentleness, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, right? So, Lord, we're going to start praying towards, we're going to start talking about, and we're going to start telling the stories of where success shows up, and we're going to have patterns of repentance for where, when we mess up, and what that looks like. And so, building in some pattern for that, I think, is really important. And then, part of what we do, and we learned this from Jonathan Edwards, but Jonathan Edwards would have 70 resolutions, as you might remember, kind of his resolutions that he created. And one of them is like, when I fail at these things, I'm going to do this. And I think that's so wise. Like, we as a family are going to be committed with Luke to help him with self-control. And when I forget to help Luke with self-control for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to not say I'm a miserable failure and just forget it and give up. Or beat myself up about it, I'm going to confess it, and I'm going to start again. You know, we have a saying at Cornerstone, is at the church that I get to pastor in Franklin, that, you know, you have to sort of wake up every day and decide again to become a Christian. Now, not really, right? But it is, there is an intention of, like, remembering who you are, who God is, what he's called you to, and that he's provided what you need. I've got to be reminded of that every day. Because I wake up every morning going, I'm behind. I don't know about anybody else, but that's like, I'm behind. And there's not enough. I'm not behind. There is enough. Christ has done it. Walk in his love. Walk in his grace. Now go. Right? And the pattern of that with our children, I think, is really important, right? So determining to prioritize our family and then having some vision of how to do that. Now, notice those two things are slowing you down. Notice we had to do some thinking. Because often, right, so much of parenting, and it is on the fly. So you've got to have times where you're pressing pause, you're slowing down, and you're actually thinking through these things. And there's some rhythm and routine for doing so. I think that's a really important part of this vision. All right, so if we're on the go and we're running fast, we've got a vision, we've made a determination, so we have a little bit of path to run on. How are some practices that we're going to now inhabit to kind of move forward? And I want to encourage you, thirdly, to redeem your mealtimes. I've just noticed that people eat, and they eat regularly. Most of us three times a day. And a number of times, there's going to be part of our family with us. Maybe not all of them. And we have the chance to sit together and actually talk. Like, that's going to happen on an interval. Now, we're going to talk later, when that's a real challenge, how to begin to navigate that. But starting with redeeming mealtimes, the times that you've got 21 meals a week, okay? We'll just say it that way. You've got 21 meals a week. Could you eat together three or four times? That'd be awesome. That'd be really awesome. It's going to require some scheduling, But when you're sitting together, there is natural opportunities to engage about things that are meaningful in life. Having a few questions, a few conversation starters, having an aim or an intention for how that time is going to go, building in some grace when it gets derailed by, you know, the two-year-old who threw food at you in the midst of trying to have a quality conversation and learning to roll with that. But redeeming those times as ways for your family life to connect on the go, because you're going to eat together. Find ways in which that can happen at a regular interval. I think this morning, noon, and night thing that we see even throughout the scripture has been true in church history, that Christians have often paused in the morning and at the midday and the evening for prayer. We see that with Daniel, right, as even an example of that. I think those rhythms being built into the normal functioning of our life that the Lord has made, redeeming some of that with our family goes a long way. We're not having to reinvent the wheel. We're having to redeem what's already there, what's already put in place. Fourthly, I think this goes along with these mealtimes. Establish as a family a scripture and prayer routine. You've got to establish a scripture and prayer routine. Now, this is often one of the hardest things we do as a family. There can be, especially for maybe dads who are leading, there can be an awkwardness even about knowing what to do, what to read. Kids can be resistant to that. It can appear that there's no fruit. I mean, I have a distinct memory of family worship growing up when I was 11, 12 years old. And I remember my dad getting frustrated during it, right? Like getting mad. And he kind of barked at me at one point during, you know, we're like talking about the grace of God. And then I am falling asleep, because I was always falling asleep if I was sitting still. And he was like, "Nate, wake up," like, you know, like that. And I, you know, that's my primary memory around family worship. Now, here's what's interesting about that is your children will typically not remember the content. You know what they'll remember? The fact that you did it and you kept trying and the cumulative impact of doing it over and over and over again. We usually want like an inspirational, transformational moment. And you know why? Because we're kind of Americans that way. We think like things happen in big, shiny, inspiring moments. Like that's when change really happens. Most of the time we change through these almost indistinguishable, simple fidelities over a long period of time, to be honest. Things that really do change us over time. So stay with it is the key. You know, stick with it. You have an opportunity through the cumulative effect of family worship, rather than the moment by moment, or rather than the inspirational moment, to, I think, really make a big difference. So that establish a scripture and prayer routine. If you don't know how to lead in family worship, if it's really intimidating to open up the Word of God, please talk to people who are around you. Please go to your pastors and ask them for resources, for help, and for training in that. Prayer can be one of the hardest, right? Because I think of this as praying with your spouse is one of the most difficult things that we do, because they know us like really super well, and we're going to like now try to be spiritual. That's what it's going to feel like. And there's a lot of awkwardness and there's a lot of vulnerability about that. And I want you to know that that awkwardness and vulnerability is happening because you're trying to do something really good. And you feel ill-equipped and under-resourced to be able to do this. You feel too, you know what's going on a little bit? You feel a little bit like a fraud, right? You feel a little bit like, okay, I'm not really prepared to do this. I want you to know, again, that's the foundation, that you are not prepared fully to do this. That's not a reason not to do it. That's a reason to do it. That's the reason to do it. And actually start there. I had to the other night, you know, because we have this routine of scripture and prayer. And I had gotten frustrated. I know that's very surprising. But I had gotten frustrated with the children. I'd said something I shouldn't have said. And I was like, we're not going to bring it back up. You know, we're going to go to family worship now. And I sat down and I'm like, shoot. I've got to confess this. Now, I ask forgiveness for each of the kids, right, for what I said. They probably don't remember much of what I said after that. But it was interesting. They were all even a little feeling a little awkward for me in it. And it was probably one of our better moments together that day. Again, learning to actually walk in this grace that we believe is a huge piece of it. And if we're doing that on a regular basis, it begins to take shape. Take shape in their life, take shape in our lives. So establish a scripture and prayer routine. It doesn't have to be long. It's the cumulative effect of it. Do it on the go. Right now, I have a daughter in college, right? So she does not drive home for family worship. I'll send a little video message occasionally, just when I'm thinking about her. I'll send her a text or a scripture or whatever. We're finding ways, right, to keep that vital connection and learn kind of as we go. You know, really cool, like, she's doing that now with me. So, like, she texted me this morning and she said, "Dad, I hope tonight goes really well, praying for you." That's cool, isn't it? And so, you know, those little things start to stick over time. Then she also said, "Good luck." And I was like, got some work to do. Anyway. Number five, calendar time together as a family. Like, calendar time together as a family. This is so hard, right? I mean, but it's, when the kids are young, it's a little easier. You control them, right? You know, but later, you don't. They get a car and they get a job and they do all this stuff, right? So, as much as you can, getting ahead of your calendar, making it regular so that there's something that they can anticipate. You're not trying to spring it on them. I think if you can have in a family, if you've got young children, start putting in like seasonal traditions. And I don't mean just like Christmas or Easter. I mean, hey, it's like the first day of winter. It's the start of college football. It's, you know, the leaves are, you know, when the leaves are changing, we do this. Or whatever it is, we have like little things throughout the year. We have this thankful tree. It's like this thing we do in November to like give thanks throughout November. And it's really fancy. It's a construction paper tree that we stuck on our wall and we put the little leaves on it and we all, you know, write something before. And we've done it for like years and years. And I told Christy, I was like, why don't we do something different? And we didn't put it up November 1st. And like our older kids were like, hey, where's the thankful tree? Like, you know, what's going on? And you're like, this little thing that started became this means by which the family actually draws together. And so building those regular family times around these disciplines, and they were like, hey, Rosalind's not here, let's text her so we can write her leaf and stick it on, you know, so she could continue to be involved. That's pretty cool. So having some seasonal traditions that are moving you together, you're scheduling the time, and you're present in those moments. Listen, that little glowing square or rectangle in your pocket or out on the table right now, it's trouble, okay? So be really careful with that thing. And I'm not talking about your kids yet. I'm talking about us, right? The be present where you are is increasingly difficult. And family time gets robbed of its meaningfulness because we're present and not there, right? We're in the space, but we're not there. So you need to make no cell phone zones, like, in your family. It may be a time, like, there's none at mealtimes for us, and there's some other times in which that's the case. And if you set that as an expectation early, then it becomes routine for the family. If you haven't set that and you're like, man, we need to do that, there's going to be some kicking and screaming. Stay with it. It's okay. They're not going to die. They think they're going to die. They're not going to die. You are not going to die. We're all going to be okay. So just calendar that time, parameter it, boundary it in terms of technology. Technology is a tool, but it also can be a terror if we're not careful. So fifth, calendaring time as a family. Sixth, recognize seasons of family change and adapt. Right? Families do not stay the same. You don't stay the same. Your kids don't stay the same. It's the way the Lord has made it. But the families who tend to transition well through those seasons and adapt tend to fare better, right? Like daddy-daughter dances are probably going to end, right? There's probably a time where those, like dad and son camping out in the backyard is a little weirder at 15 than at 5. Just trust me. Trust me on this. This is a lot of experience talking right here. It gets a little, so pay attention, like your child has moved. You can, like, grieve that. That's totally fine, and you should, and there's going to be a need for that. Like, oh, Johnny doesn't want to, you know, and that's okay. Pay attention, though, that they've moved. How do you need to move? They might need something different from you now. What is that? If you're doing that regular, if you've created a vision and you've earmarked it throughout and you're talking with your spouse about it, it gives you a chance to say, hey, I think this is the time. Like for one of the things for our children, you just learn that right as they get older. If you notice that as your kids become teenagers, they don't listen to you anymore. Have you noticed that this happens? Yeah. So, but they do still listen to other people. That's really cool because we've got some really cool other people in our life that I would love to get my kids with who will say the same thing that I will say, and they will hear it. So there's a bit of a strategy in the shared household, like when you become 12 and 13, that we're on the hunt for the person that we want you to spend time with. As we learn that our influence diminishes during those years, whose influence is going to increase? Who is it that could become, you know, a dad and a mom in a spiritual sense, a discipler, you know, even as the Apostle Paul had Timothy as his child in the faith, you and the family of God have that opportunity. We had a tragedy that actually happened to our family where we lost one of my nephews in a car accident when my daughter, my oldest daughter, was still pretty young. She was really wrestling with how the Lord would allow that to happen. But she did know how to voice that to her pastor father, that she had some doubts about this God. With this lovely woman in our congregation in her 60s who had gone through a similar thing and started meeting with our daughter. And today is like her best friend. I mean, when she comes back to Franklin, she wants to see her before she wants to see her friends. That's awesome. I'm really thankful for that. Now, that takes some time and some thinking through, but you're going to need other voices. And so finding, like, how to adapt through those phases of changes is really important. There's also, I think, finally in this, because I think we're going to be running out of time here, is as the children get older, I put down here, take what you are given. take what you're given. It's harder and harder to corral them, and you're going to need increasing flexibility. We talked about the adapt piece, but like I just find, and this is hard for me, like not everybody can get around the table tonight. But I've got two of my kids. That's good. I'm going to go with that. We're going to continue in the routine. You know, I've got one of them, and so we're going to change it up tonight, and we're going to make it kind of special. Right, we're gonna do something different. Take what it is that you're given. Scheduling a family night becomes increasingly harder. But like when my 14-year-old son comes back from basketball practice at 9 o'clock, he's in a strange mood to talk. Right, like let's seize it. I last year took him on like to go out for coffee. We were gonna talk about something. It's the last thing he really wants to do. But like, you know, like, hey, let's go out, let's talk. I want to talk to you about, you know, this and that, and I have a little agenda. And surprise, surprise, he does not want to talk. And I come back from that, and I'm like, man, that's such a bummer. And then the next day, I'm driving him to something, and we've got about a 25-minute drive, and he won't be quiet. He'll talk in the car when he's not looking at me, but when we're face-to-face, it's, no, I don't want to have that conversation. Well, now I'm like, road trip. Yeah. That's what we need. I don't need anything I've ever got. I need a road trip. Right? It's part, take what you're given. Like what do they give you? How can you roll with that? Because these changes and these unscheduled, you know, activities that happen, what actually they are providential. God's in control of those. Remember, these changes are not taking the Lord by surprise. They are a part of this plan. That's why when Deuteronomy 6 is giving us that instruction, I referenced it in the talk earlier, of when you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk by the way, it's not saying, it's actually not giving us a portrait of just sitting down together at family worship every night. It's that as you're on the go, in the midst of the hustle and bustle, in the midst of the fast, talk about it. Intersect with your children. Find meaningful moments. Take what it is that you're given, and then give thanks for it. And I think that as you're in the fast lane, on the go, if you learn to adapt and adjust, you'll begin to see some rich fruit begin to show up. You'll begin to see the fruit, not that you necessarily planned for, in the way that you plan for it, but in the way that the Lord wants to give it. I'll find myself, and maybe this is true of some of you, I'm looking for certain things, but the fruit that the Lord is giving is something different than what I'm looking for. And I'm missing what he's doing, not because he's not at work, but because he's not doing what I want him to do. To instead pay attention, oh wow, you're doing that. Let me move towards that. Let me move towards where the Spirit's at work and try to redeem what's before me so that by God's grace, we'll fan into flame what he's doing in their lives. Let's pray on that in front. Father in heaven, we said in the previous talk, who's fit for these things? Boy, it feels that way even going through these. Would you give us freedom and joy in just learning to stumble our way through as we want to have meaningful moments of connection and growth with our children and maintain a healthy family life with busy schedules of sports practices and rehearsals and all kinds of things. Would you help us to pause and to determine that we will make family life a priority, to create some vision of what we're actually moving towards and an actionable step or two to move towards it, to begin to craft prayers and activities as a family that will be toward those ends, and then hold them with an open hand to see where it is that you will go. Help us not to become defeated because every day is a new day. It's a way to start over. And you're there. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We need to hear that and believe it and walk in it. Help us by grace to do so. We pray in Jesus' name.